You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
Witness the lies.
I didn't lie to you on that polygraph, I promise.
The cover-ups.
I could see his brain on.
The moments they confessed.
I grabbed one of the kitchen knives.
Outrageous police interrogations.
I know, I forgot the head. I wanted the head.
You have to see to believe.
Oh my God.
Law and Crime Interrogations. Subscribe today.
All rise. Get your court together. Present.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right, let's go ahead and have the jurors return, please.
Sure. All rise, please.
Present and accountable.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right, we're back from the mid-morning break. We're going to go ahead and continue with evidence this morning on the state's case in chief. I believe there's another witness the state's prepared to call. Is that correct?
That is correct, Your Honor. The state will call Doug Hart.
Very well. He can call your witness.
I swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
I do. You're sitting close enough and speak directly into the mic, please.
Okay.
You got fresh water and...
All right. Mr. Hart, do you go by agent or officer or some other title you prefer?
Agent Hart is fine. It's former, but whatever works.
Okay. Well, we'll just call you Agent Hart then. Before we get started with your testimony, now that you've been placed under oath, I just want to ask you, because the proceedings are being live streamed and available for public access, have you reviewed or watched or observed any of the trial testimony in this case since it began?
No, I have not, Your Honor.
All right. And have you discussed with anyone else their testimony that has testified in the case?
No, I have not.
Okay. Thank you for that affirmation. Ms. Blake, you can inquire on direct.
Thank you, Your Honor. Would you please spell your name for the record?
Douglas Hart, H-A-R-T.
Where are you currently employed?
I am currently the chief deputy at the Canyon County Sheriff's Office.
How long have you been employed with them?
Since September of 2022.
What did you do prior to taking that position?
Prior to that position, I was a special agent for the Federal Bureau of Investigation for approximately 27 years.
Did you hold various assignments or have specific roles you played within the special agent?
Yes, I did.
And what were some of those?
My first assignment was to the Honolulu, Hawaii field office, where I spent 5.5 years on the organized crime drug squad, conducting complex multi-subject investigations. My second assignment was to the Lewiston, Idaho resident agency, where I spent 7 years working primarily violent crime and persons crimes on the Nez Perce Indian Reservation. My third assignment was to be the supervisor of the Treasure Valley Metro Violent Crime Task Force, which is a local task force headed by the FBI to investigate gangs and violent crimes. And my final assignment, my last 7 years in the FBI, I was the supervisor for the southern 34 counties in Idaho for all criminal programs. And it was in that capacity that I became involved in this investigation.
And you just mentioned becoming involved in this investigation. Can you tell me a little bit about how the FBI ended up involved in this case?
Certainly. This case was brought to our attention in November, towards the end of November of 2019. And because it involved two missing children, that is something that the FBI has a specific expertise in, and it's something that we work very closely and cooperatively with our state and city and county partners in investigations involving missing children.
And when you became involved, or when the FBI became involved, is it fair to say that it became a joint investigation?
Yes.
Do you recall which agencies were involved?
Yes. We were initially contacted by the Rexburg Police Department and the Fremont County Sheriff's Department, or Sheriff's Office, excuse me. And then subsequently, for a brief period of time, the State of Idaho Attorney General's Office I think that's and Social Security and a few other entities had smaller parts of the investigation that they worked on.
And as part of your involvement in this investigation, did you take on specific tasks?
I did.
What were some of those?
First and foremost, I was the FBI supervisor in this case, which meant that I was the reviewer and approver of most of the FBI work product that went into our case file. And then I also had an investigative role due to our minimal staffing in Eastern Idaho and some transfers that had taken place, which further diminished our staffing. I carried several investigative assignments within this case.
Do you recall, as part of your assignments in this case, looking into some iCloud accounts?
Yes, I did.
Do you know who those iCloud accounts were associated with?
Yes, they were associated with Lori Vallow.
And do you recall the names on those accounts?
Yes, there were two accounts. The first account was called Lori 4 Style with the number 4. And the second account was called Lolly Time.
And when you looked at these iCloud accounts, could you tell how long they'd been in existence?
Yes.
And what did you learn regarding that?
So the first account, Lori for Style, was the oldest account. It was the bulk of that account started in 2016, but there were some materials that were present there as early as 2011, 2012. And then Lolly Time was more recent. It essentially started July 1st of 2019.
And when you were reviewing these, could you tell if some messages had been deleted? What exactly were you able to see in relation to any messages or the content there?
So the content on both iCloud accounts is extremely voluminous. We utilized a software system called Cellbrite, which doesn't change any of the data within the iCloud, but organizes it in a way that makes it reviewable. For instance, there will be a section for SMS or text messages, a section for videos and photographs and contacts and Bluetooth and on and on and on. And so this software just takes the mirrored image of the iCloud account and organizes it into its component parts. And so I reviewed all of those component parts for both of the iCloud accounts.
And you mentioned that both of these accounts had voluminous information on them.
Yes.
And in preparation for your testimony today, did you create a summary exhibit?
I did.
And does the summary exhibit contain some content from Lolly Time?
The summary exhibit for today is almost exclusively from Lolly Time, with the exception of one slide, which is from Lori for Style.
And do you believe that this would assist and aid you in your testimony today?
Yes, it would.
Do you believe it would aid the jurors in understanding the evidence?
Yes, I do.
Your Honor, I have what's been marked as State's Exhibit 183. I have provided a copy to counsel. I have a copy for the court, as well as a courtesy copy for Your Honor. As some of the other exhibits for the state, this will actually be, the actual exhibit will be a jump drive containing the PowerPoint, but we have the slides printed off for courtesy.
Okay.
And if I can have the witness shown a copy.
Yes. Could you turn your microphone on, please, Mr. Pryor?
Here with a note. Judge, my only objection is I would like the deputy. That's acceptable. To just make note of the range that this summary encompasses, if we could. Date, ending date, beginning date.
Certainly.
This is just part of the admissibility here. Ms. Blake, the witness is being handed that. It sounds like provisionally there's no objection, but if we could identify, and it'll be helpful for the record too, just the date that this encompasses, date range.
Yes. Agent, are you able to tell us the date range that this would cover?
This exhibit covers a date range of January 2019 through, I believe it is August of 2019.
And is there a reason that that is what this, the time frame within this exhibit?
Yes, the pertinent portions of the iCloud for today's testimony exist within that specific time frame.
And through the investigation, did you learn when Chad and Lori first met?
Yes.
What did you learn in relation to that?
They met on October 26th, 2018.
And so this exhibit would begin several months after their first meeting?
Yes, it does. There are communications that reference the time frame of their meeting in 2018, but those communications are dated July of 2019.
And through the investigation, did you learn the last known day that Tylee Ryan was seen?
Yes.
And what was that day?
The last known date that Tylee Ryan was seen was September 8th of 2019.
Did you learn the last day J.J. Vallow was seen?
Yes. The last day that J.J. Vallow was seen was September 22nd of 2019.
And did you also learn the day that Tammy Daybell was declared dead?
Yes. Tammy Daybell was declared dead on October 19th of 2019.
Through the investigation, did you learn when Chad and Lori got married?
Yes, they were married in Hawaii on November 5th of 2019.
And when you became involved in the investigation initially, JJ and Tylee were still missing, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Your Honor, it's my understanding then the exhibit would be stipulated to.
All right, with those dates determined, Mr. Pryor, any objection?
Judge, it's not stipulated to, but there is no objection to the exhibit.
Okay, well then, without objection, State's Exhibit 183 is admitted. The court noting the actual exhibit will be the PowerPoint presentation file on a digital drive. The court has a courtesy copy as well as counsel, and the witness is referring to printed versions that are derived from that PowerPoint presentation.
And Your Honor, I guess just to ensure the record is clear as well, the iCloud accounts have been stipulated to that this content's pulled from.
Okay, so. And I will note that as well. Thank you.
And that is correct, Judge. These have been stipulated as part of the record.
Okay.
And Your Honor, with that, the state would ask permission to publish.
Yes, you may publish.
Agent Hart, when you created this exhibit, did you pull over the content from these iCloud accounts?
I did.
So do some of these contain potential spelling errors, things of that nature?
Yes. Most of what we'll see today are text messages. And so the Cellbrite software arranges them in a reverse chronological order and assigns each text message a line number. Associated with that is a date and a time for the text, and then who it was to or from, and then the actual content of the text. And so I cut and pasted the content of the text exactly as it appears in the iCloud account.
Thank you. And with that, would you go ahead and read these messages into the record?
Yes. This sheet is from the SMS section of Lori for Style at iCloud.com. Line number 2585, January 23rd, 2019. 5:18 p.m. Text from Lori Vallow to Audrey Baratario. Hi, Audrey. This is Lori. I would love to talk to you sometime. Text me or call me. I'm excited to be able to talk to you about what we both know. Line number 2584.
Judge, could we approach?
Yes. All right, Ms. Blake, if you'd like to continue with direct, you may.
Thank you, Your Honor. Agent Hart, if you could go ahead and continue reading those into the record.
Yes. Line number 2584, January.
Judge, I'm going to object at this point on the basis that this is cumulative. There's a record that's already been established with the exhibit. And to just require the officer to read the remainder is a is cumulative, in my opinion.
All right. Response from the state.
Thank you, Your Honor. The state's position is it is not cumulative. While the state recognizes it is an exhibit, it's also a summary exhibit that we heard testimony from the agent that this would aid in his testimony today, that he believes it would aid the jurors in understanding. While it is what's on the screen, so long as it's read as to what's appearing on the screen, the state's position is in no way is this cumulative evidence. So we would ask that the judge overrule that objection and allow us to move forward with testimony.
And Judge, briefly in response, is that the exhibit is what it is, and it's clear for the jury to look at that and read that. It doesn't necessitate the prosecutor to go line by line over a massive exhibit.
I am going to sustain the objection in that I would find it be somewhat, well, it is cumulative to have a written version of all of the messages and then to simply have a witness read through all of the written messages when they're already being published and the jurors are all capable of reading them as well. I'll sustain that in that I just don't want to have the entire thing read into the record. I don't know that that's necessary, but if you want to have any time or assurance to make sure the jurors have read the messages and direct the witness to any of the specific messages that are contained in there, certainly you can go there, Ms. Blake, but just the wholesale reading of all the messages, I do find the objection is sustained.
Agent Hart, when we look at these messages, looking at the first one there, it appears to be a message from Lori sent to Audrey.
That's correct.
Can you tell us who, if you learned through the investigation, who Audrey Barataro is?
Audrey Barataro was a friend and associate of Chad Daybell.
And did you learn through the investigation how she came to be in contact with Lori?
Chad Daybell introduced her to Lori Vallow.
And when we look at that first message, is there something about that that initially caught your attention?
Yes, it's the line where Lori indicates to Audrey that she's excited to be able to talk about what we both know.
And then did you look at that in conjunction with the response from Audrey to Lori?
Yes, Audrey indicates states that she guesses Lori has talked to Chad. And so it's clear from this particular text string that there's a reference by Lori Vallow to Audrey Barataro about what Lori, Audrey, and Chad Daybell know.
And Your Honor, may I ask that the witness be handed a laser pointer if we have one available?
Yes, I do think we have one.
Thank you. And Agent Hart, if at any point that's helpful.
Okay.
That. And then was there some significance to these other messages in relation to those first messages?
Yes, mainly in the fourth line where it says by Lori to Audrey that she thinks it's fun to talk to someone who knows what's really going on. Again, a reference to something between the three of them.
And again, this was in January of 2019.
Correct.
If we move to the next slide, I'm going to pause to give the jurors a chance to look through that.
Yes.
And Agent Hart, when we look at these messages, we have the name Melanie Boudreau. Did you learn through the investigation who she is?
Yes, she is Lori Vallow's niece.
And there's a reference in that first email to someone named Brandon. Do you know who Brandon is?
Yes, these are text messages, not emails, but Brandon is Melanie's husband or soon-to-be ex-husband. They were in the process of separating and getting a divorce.
And there's also the name Al. Do you know who Al would be referencing?
Only by the content of the text. I have never met or spoken with Allie Bloomer or her husband.
And what caught your attention about these particular messages?
These messages and then the next two slides are a continuation of this text string, demonstrate several significant things that are relevant to this investigation.
And in that, in the very last message, it appears to be a message from Chad to Lori.
Correct.
And what did that appear to be an indication Chad was going to do?
So during the investigation.
Objection, Judge, that was going to call for speculation.
Overruled.
During the investigation, we came to know that Chad Daybell purported to have the ability to assign an individual as being either dark or light, and he would give them a score. And Lori Vallow and others would seek Chad's visions as it related to assigning people as being either dark or light. And so this is one of the first references we see in the iCloud account where Lori Vallow is seeking from Chad Daybell, or Chad Daybell rather offers that he will check Ali Bloomer and her husband, meaning he will see what their scores are.
And then looking at that first message, it references that Brandon is making me promise not to have you or Al around my house or kids. Do you know who that Al is?
Yes, that's Alex Cox, Lori's brother.
And then you had already indicated this next slide is a continuation. I'm just going to pause to give the jurors a chance to read through that. And when you looked at these messages, was there anything on these that stood out to you?
Yes, primarily in line 3000, where Chad Daybell responds back approximately 8 minutes later, giving Lori Vallow these scores. He assigns Ali Bloomer as being 4.1 dark, and her cop husband is a 3 dark. And so those are coming from Chad Daybell to Lori Vallow in reference to this issue that's come up with Melanie Boudreau.
And if we look at the line 2996, is Lori passing that information along?
Yes, and this is a pattern that we see repeatedly, that Lori Vallow would solicit Chad Daybell's advice or visions. Chad Daybell would respond, and then Lori Vallow would disseminate that out to whoever was making that inquiry.
I think if we move to the next slide, I believe you indicated this is also a continuation of that conversation.
Correct.
I'm just going to pause here to give the jurors a moment to look through that.
Yes.
When we look at these messages, if we start with the new one, there's a reference to checking for recording devices. Did anything about that catch your attention?
Yes.
And then did it catch your attention in reference to the following messages?
It did.
Or is it related?
It did. So subsequent to seeking those scores on Ali Bloomer and her husband, Lori Vallow then makes a request to Chad Daybell to clear Melanie Boudreau's house and also check it for recording devices. And so Chad Daybell responds that he'll do that and that he's having to break down some dark entries Brandon created and that he detects 3 listening devices. And that answer is then passed on directly from Lori Vallow to Melanie Boudreau, referencing Chad Daybell as Melanie Boudreau's father, and then verbatim passes on that message. So to me, this establishes once again.
Judge, I'm going to object. It's calling for speculation.
I'll overrule that. You can answer.
It establishes that the individuals within this group look to Chad Daybell as the supposed visionary who will give them these types of information.
And in these messages, when the request is made, Chad responds. Is that correct?
Yes.
I'm turning to the next slide. I'm again going to pause to allow the jurors a moment to look through that.
Very well.
Agent Hart, when we look at the date on this message, can you read the date?
I can, July 13th of 2019.
Do you know when Charles Vallow was killed?
He was killed on July 11th of 2019.
So just 2 days prior to this message?
Correct.
During this time, was Tammy Daybell still alive?
Yes.
Do you know who Adam, Leah, well, I'll stop there. Do you know who Adam is?
Yes.
And who is that?
Chad Daybell's son-in-law.
And do you know who Leah is?
Chad Daybell's daughter.
And do you know who Joe is?
Joe is also Chad Daybell's son-in-law.
What is it, outside of the date, what else about this message drew your attention?
There were a couple of things that I think are significant in this message. The first is this line where Chad Daybell says, "I feel she will be gone by then," which is a reference to the pending death of Tammy Daybell.
Judge, I'm Jack Kitchen. That calls for speculation.
I'll strike that last part of the answers. Institution Foundation.
Based on your investigation, who did you believe the she to be?
Tammy Daybell.
It calls for speculation. I'll renew my objection, Judge.
And Your Honor, I think based on his investigation, I'm asking who he believed this message to be referencing.
Judge, can we approach, please?
No, it's overruled, Mr. Pryor. Go ahead, Ms. Blake.
Who did you believe the her to be?
Tammy Daybell.
Or I said her, but the word is actually she, the pronoun used, correct?
Correct.
Looking at the second to the last sentence, could you explain if there was anything about that that drew your attention?
Yes, it helps tie in the line, "I feel she will be gone by then." So Chad Daybell tells Lori Vallow that the Lord has hinted to him that he might not get to be with Lori Vallow until after this graduation ceremony takes place on July 23rd, and asks Lori Vallow to, quote, "please ask about that."
If we turn to the next slide, again, I'm going to pause to allow the jurors to read that. Agent Hart, looking at the date on this one, how many days ago had Charles been killed?
3 days prior.
And again, Tammy Daybell's still alive?
Yes.
Do you know, or did you learn through the investigation, who Lily would be referencing?
Yes, Lily is another name for Lori Vallow.
Was there something about this that caught your attention?
There are two things about this communication that caught my attention.
Could you tell me what those were?
The first is the reference to joining Chad Daybell in the shower. They were physically, Lori Vallow was in Arizona, Chad Daybell was in Idaho at the time of this message. So there are repeated references to Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell having the ability to connect on a spiritual plane and be together spiritually. So this is just one example of that, but it's pertinent because it happens repeatedly and it could be easily confused that they were actually physically present together, which they were not. So that was the first thing that stood out.
And what was the next thing?
The next thing is the last line of Chad Daybell's text to Lori Vallow, where he says he loves her so immensely that the whole universe knows it, and very soon, the people on this little blue globe will know it too, which demonstrates that their relationship was clandestine or secret at this point, and that at some future date, the relationship between Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow would be divulged by Chad Daybell.
And then moving to the next slide, again, I'm going to pause to allow the jurors time to read that. Agent Hart, when we look at these messages, there is the name James and a name Elena referenced. Did you see those in this message?
Yes.
Were you able to determine through the investigation who James is referencing?
Yes, James is Chad Daybell.
And were you able to determine who Elena is referencing?
Yes, Elena is Lori Vallow.
And again, the date on these messages is how many days after Charles Vallow was killed?
This is now 3 days after he was killed.
What is it about these particular messages that drew your attention?
Well, the James and Elena communications are very significant, and we see them first in the email section of the iCloud, starting on July 8th, continuing through July 9th, and through much of July. Chad Daybell is the author of these portions of a narrative or a history that chronicles Chad Daybell's meeting Lori Vallow and how their relationship developed. He refers to himself as James in this and to Lori Vallow as Elena, But in fact, this is autobiographical. It is based in fact. We verified the facts of the story as being correct and accurate to real events. And so in this, we have a description from Chad Daybell as to how he met Lori, and particularly several important events that occurred early on in their relationship.
And in this first one, there's an indication now on with the story. Were there other segments that came before this next message?
Yes, and it's very voluminous. And so what we're seeing here were portions that were sent via text message by Chad Daybell to Lori Vallow. But as I said, on July 8th is the first instance we see of a very lengthy narrative written by Chad Daybell, sent to Lori Vallow via email.
And again, during this time, Tammy Daybell is still alive?
She is.
In that second message, there's the indication they would both attend the same event in mid-November. Were you able to determine through the investigation if that occurred?
Yes. So that's a reference to November 15th through the 17th of 2018. So while this message was sent via text on July 14th of 2019, the narrative contained in the message is talking about a time period between the end of October and prior to November 15th through the 17th of 2018.
And the last sentence of that text, was there something that stood out there?
I think the entire text is pertinent, as well as that last sentence. In the middle, Chad Daybell states in this narrative that he and Lori Vallow had been married before, and references some past time with the Savior when he lived in Jerusalem. And Elena, or Lori, had been his beloved spouse and best friend. In the final line, he says that relationship was now meant to continue in this lifetime. So looking at this history, Chad is saying that after he met Lori Vallow, he knew that their relationship was now meant to continue in this lifetime, with the assertion that they had been married in a previous lifetime.
And again, you talked about, while this message is sent in July of 2019, that it's referencing events from 2018.
That's correct. Chad Daybell met Lori Vallow on October 26th of 2018 at a Preparing a People conference in St. George, Utah. That's chronicled in this history. In between their first meeting, there was a three-week time period before they would physically meet again in Mesa, Arizona, November 15th through the 17th, 2018, at another Preparing a People conference. So the time period being referenced by Chad Daybell in this communication is that time period from the end of October 2018 until they meet again physically in November of 2018.
And when this is written, Charles and Tammy are still alive.
That is correct.
We go to the next one. And again, I'm going to pause here to let the jurors read it. And this message again has the date of July 14th of 2019, correct?
Yes, it does.
And could you talk a little bit about what it is about this message that caught your attention?
What caught my attention is that this is the first time Chad Daybell introduces to Lori Vallow the concept that they had lived as human beings at another time in the past, that they had been married to each other in the past, and that they were meant to be married again in this present time and complete these important missions together.
Judge, I'm going to object at this point, and I have voir dire and native objection.
Well, there's no pending question at this time, so if there was an objection, Mr. Pryor, this wasn't timely.
And again, Agent Hart, when we're seeing the James and Elena references and this story being drafted, it is referencing back to events that would have happened previously.
Yes, he is referencing events and phone conversations that took place between the end of October 2018 and just prior to November 15th through the 17th of 2018.
And again, when we're looking at this, Charles has been killed just 3 days before this message.
That's correct.
And in 2018, when this story's referencing back to 2018, Charles and Tammy were still alive.
Yes, Charles and Tammy were still alive. Lori Vallow was married to Charles Vallow, and Chad Daybell was married to Tammy Daybell during this time period that he's describing.
Judge, I'm going to object unresponse, or I'll withdraw at this point.
All right. Go ahead, Ms. Blake.
There's also a reference in there, the line starting with, he was ecstatic. Could you read that sentence in there?
He was ecstatic that she was receiving confirmation of these things as well.
Did that indicate anything to you?
Yes. In the first sentence, Chad writes that he tried to delicately describe their connection with one another and was in fact delighted when Lori Vallow believed him. And so this is Chad Daybell introducing these concepts of he and Lori having been married in a previous life.
And then later on, we see that she appeared to be getting confirmation of what Chad was telling her.
Correct.
There's also reference in there to physical desires.
Yes.
With the talk of physical desires, making love, was there anything about those that caught your attention?
Well, it demonstrated the attraction of Chad Daybell to Lori Vallow instantly upon their meeting in October of 2018.
If we move to the next slide, and again, I'm going to pause to allow the jurors to read this. When we look at these messages, they are also dated July 14th of 2019. Is that correct?
Yes.
What was it about these messages that caught your attention?
This is a communication by Chad Daybell to Lori Vallow seeking an opportunity to be with her in person and using a camp out and a potential speaking assignment as a ruse to be able to leave Rexburg and go and be with Lori Vallow.
And there's a reference there in the first message, whether she is still here or not. Based on your investigation, did you determine who that she would have been referencing?
Tammy Daybell.
And in the James and Elena, we saw some reference to some kind of physical attraction. And then in these, what stood out is Chad and Lori are actually going to meet up in person here.
Yes, the investigation had revealed they had already met at several different times with travel to different places to be together for periods of 2 or 3 days. And in fact, we were able to verify that Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow did meet and were together during that July 24th through 26th timeframe that's referenced in the communication.
And July 24th to 26th, Tammy Daybell was still alive. Is that correct?
Yes.
And then if we go to the next slide, and again, I'm going to pause to allow the jurors to read this. And again, these are a continuation of text messages from July 14th of 2019.
Correct.
And again, just 3 days after Charles Vallow's been killed.
Yes.
What about these messages drew your attention?
There was a lot of what we call sexting content in the iCloud that I examined. I included these communications as just a very, very small example that this was in fact a sexual affair. It was not an emotional affair or a spiritual affair. It's very clear that it's a physical sexual affair between Chad Daybell and Lori Vallo.
And moving to the next slide, again, I'm going to pause to allow the jurors to read this.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.